welcome. This is another Super Not Gay episode of If This Doesn't Work. Here with me today, I have a local gay man from Pasadena.
Yes, sir. Married Eddie. And gay.
Married to a man. It's like, a lot of married guys are gay. The marriage, this here's the thing about the marriage thing. That is not enough to convince me that you're not gay.
No, that's not it.
Not you specifically.
Okay, but, I was going to say, you know some stories, man.
But no, I just feel like, yeah, there's so many undercover gay guys.
You're familiar with the term beard, right?
Beard?
Beard. You don't know that term?
Like,
So when a gay guy marries a straight woman, that it's like his beard. It's like
it's
his disguise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he looks like he's a straight guy, but he's fucking gay. He's going through the motions of a straight man.
You know, there's a theory everyone's a little bit gay.
Dude,
you know, it's
100%.
Like it's a spectrum. And so, it's like, how gay are you?
So like Spartan warriors, everyone knows who the Spartans were, best army force ever, right? They were all gay. Every single one of them had gay lovers.
Okay. All right. Well, back then, I think everyone was fucking boys.
No, but they were lovers. It wasn't just fuck for power.
Oh,
you're
like, they were romantic, actually.
Yes, and the theory was that if your lover was on battlefield next to you, you would fight harder to protect your lover. So it was actually encouraged to find gay lovers if you were a Spartan warrior.
Yeah, you're a pretty good Spartan, but you're just not sucking enough dick. We need to
suck some more dick, bro.
Yeah, that's your review. Like, you're doing good, but you gotta do some more gay shit. I've heard this. There's this guy called the Double Soul Shaman. Oh my God, there's this guy. This white guy, basically, and he's like, he lives in the fucking, I don't know if he's on a retreat or the woods or what, but he has like this online presence where he drinks his own piss and he swears by ball cupping of other men and he does like penis workshops, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And he always is like, the Spartans, he says the same shit you're saying. His evidence for all his shit, he's a gay man, you know? And it's clear, it's just like, all the Spartans were doing it. They were ball cupping. They were channeling energy into each other's penises. They were, how are you going to say you're a warrior and you've never touched your friend's dick? And it's like, bro, what in the fuck? The Double Soul Shaman. Great guy.
Yeah, I'll check him out. I don't think I'd have to be gay to be a good warrior. But, you know, to each their own.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say. You'd rather be a gay in a gardener than a war, you know, or you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Gay
this.
In the gardener instead of a... Nah, something like that. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, a warrior in a garden
than a
rather
gardener,
than a gardener
in
a
war.
Is it the saying?
So the theory, like the thing behind it, is that you can protect yourself. You're
capable.
A monster first, you know.
You're capable.
And tone it down, but yeah, versus being peaceful, and then getting thrown into an unpeaceful situation.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hey, you mentioned. Oh, I'm sorry. I got.
No, you go.
I was gonna say you mentioned drinking piss a second ago. Did you know that if you actually drink piss in a situation where like you need to drink water, it'll make you dehydrated faster? So, pro tip.
Bear Grylls did not teach me that. He told me the other.
Do not drink piss. Do not drink your
piss. Bear Grylls told me the other.
If you need to drink, it'll make you dehydrated faster. It'll do the reverse.
I mean, it makes
see
sense.
Yeah. All you waterworks people out there, you waterworks kinks people.
Yeah. Not me.
Piss on, but like, you know, don't drink it.
Yeah.
Or do, whatever. It's
just
up to you.
You'll
it's America.
Be dehydrated.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had that.
So, last time I was on, you guys didn't have nearly as much decor or anything here, so I ended up getting you guys a little gift, and then Tibbs also hopped on board to supply something else, so if you want to reach in.
Okay, so let me just say, like, you know, one of my least favorite things in the world, right, is opening a gift in front of someone. It's like the level of expectation, right, and I don't necessarily feel that, but it's like... I can tell you that the lights in the camera don't help, like, the pressure. When someone, like, even when someone, like, dude, even when someone brings over their phone to me, like, look at this funny thing, I'm like, oh, my God. The pressure I have now to react in a certain way. Because my real reaction is probably going to be like, how dare you wasting my time?
Yeah.
Not for you, but for the internet, the video people.
Yeah.
So thank you for the pressure. I am going to now, I guess, open the gift.
You almost have to say it sucks because of this podcast.
Yeah,
like, this is who we
are.
Something.
Well, I mean, I'm authenticity is the brand. So this is a Banksy something or other, for
that,
sure.
That is correct. I know that you're a big Banksy fan.
I am obsessed with Banksy. If you don't know Banksy, check him out.
Is it his action figure?
I don't know yet. But he is a phenomenal artist. I got one of his pieces on my back, a tattoo. I've been obsessed with him for a long time. No one's ever taken a picture of him, supposedly.
Correct.
No one's really sure who he is. He's done a lot of... If you got time, yeah, there's a documentary called Banksy Does New York. There's no video of Banksy because no one knows who he is, but he said he was going to come to New York and like tweeted at the police and was like, I dare you to catch me. I'm going to be painting every night. And everyone was following in the morning looking for his painting.
Yep.
It was just incredible.
Yeah, there's, I believe, around Central Park, he actually set up a mini art exhibit with like just, you know, the like the rat painting or the girl with the balloon.
And had the homeless man sell them?
No, yeah, for $60 a piece. Yep. And yep. some people bought them.
People
were
buying original Banksy's.
Worth $15,000 to $30,000 cool. now, and they were sold for $20 to $60, depending on the size canvas.
Yeah, he's like really anti-establishment, and his work has like a lot of meaning. And he does this thing where he doesn't really love the idea of art being sold at auctions. And then one of his pieces that sold, it went through the shredder. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Yeah. So as soon as the gavel hit to sell this piece of art, the in the frame was a shredder, and it shredded the fucking picture. I mean, you want to talk about?
And then the value went up because of it too.
Well, right. Just, of course.
Kind of contrary to what he wanted.
Yeah. It became more expensive.
Yep. I love him. So like when he first started out, before he was anyone, he would go into museums across Europe and put his own pictures in the museum in the little gold plate next to it, and then would leave. So like his art was in museums, and until he came out with, I think it was walking through the
exit through the gift shop.
Exit through the gift shop. Most museums didn't know that his stuff was in there until that point.
Which isn't a documentary about him.
Yeah. No.
Which people call it a Banksy documentary, but it's about the Mr. Brainwash.
Yeah. Banksy's just like a side character in it.
Yeah, but Banksy's phenomenal. Check him out. All right, I guess I'm going to open this box.
There has to be like a team of 50 behind
that. I believe it's a team as well.
Well, he does a lot of stencil work too. So that's why he puts up stuff so fast, is because he can throw up
even
the stencil.
Even still, some of the locations and the exhibits he's putting together overnight is like, that's not one person.
Oh, yeah, I love the ones.
Can I rip the box or what? Because I'm not good at opening things. They are collectible. Okay, all right.
But like he'll paint on the side of people's houses, and their house value will go from $50,000 to $3 million overnight because Banksy painted a mural on the side of their house.
Yeah, or they'll like, yeah, when he was doing the New York thing, if he did it in a bad neighborhood, people would cover it up.
Yeah.
Like, the neighborhood people would like cover it up and be like, I'm charging $5 to look at it, you know? It's on this wall.
It almost doesn't feel like art though at that point. It feels like when someone like takes someone very famous's like used tissue and sells that just because it, you know what I mean? Like, there's such a, I don't know, man. I'd love to have the reveal and it be like just the opposite of what everyone is expecting, like some fat slobby guy. Like
I'm not expecting that.
I don't expect that at all. I don't know what I expect. Just some skinny white or black guy for some reason, though he could be Asian. I don't know.
He might not be skinny.
He's from like London. I know he's not, but I mean, there's a good chance. Like there's a fair chance.
Yeah, I mean, I would be excited for them to come out with it. I don't know. I don't think they ever will. Well, maybe when he dies.
Should you not have opened it?
Oh.
No, they're fun to be open.
It's a Banksy bear?
Bear brick, yeah.
A Banksy bear brick.
Now, what's over there? Didn't you give him a little bear?
Yeah, so I gave him a little bear brick a while ago, and he mentioned that he liked it.
Yeah, that's
so that's
sick.
Why I stuck with the bear bricks. So, for people that don't know, bear bricks are a Japanese figurine. They're quite collectible. Dang. Sell anywhere from...
He's a little guy, too, huh?
$50 to $18,000 or so, depending on which ones that you get. Come in different sizes. Like, he's got the 100%, which is the normal. This is the 400%, and then they also make 1,000% that are about 2.5 feet.
Bro.
So they're pretty cool little things.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that they got Banksy ones.
They've got multiple Banksy ones. That one was one of the ones that I liked the best because of the pattern on it. And the Riot Cop is one of my favorite Banksy pieces, too. So
yeah.
I figured that you'd enjoy that.
Yeah, well, thanks, man. Yeah, it's badass. Yeah, anything Banksy I'm a fan of.
That's what I figured. I can't go wrong with Banksy stuff, and I didn't feel like buying you a Banksy buck. So
yeah, the Banksy bucks are when he made the fake money.
Yeah, yep.
He printed, like, what, $1 million worth of fake money or something?
I think it was only $3,000 or $5,000 worth
way
of it.
Off, way off.
So they are pretty collectible, and I have one at the house. It's like my only, second piece of fine art that I own.
What's your first?
I have a Thomas Kincaid.
Oh, I'll pretend I know what that is.
He's old.
Fine
probably,
art. Not one of my
he, So he's a landscape painter from America. He died, 10 years ago and caused all of his painting prices to go up. But he does this cool oil effect where if you dim the lights in the room, the oil will project more light. So, like, he does cottages and stuff. And if you dim the lights in your house, the cottage light seems brighter painting.
That's fancy.
Which is, really cool little thing. But he's regarded as probably the best American artist of all time.
When I die, I will take that title.
Best American artist?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. I don't know what the canvas will be or what the medium will be. Yeah. But I am going to die. You know what I was thinking, too? I was talking to somebody recently about when I went manic. Shocker, right? That's all I ever talk about. But I have all those pictures on my laptop and all these notes on my phone. I would love to curate into a 15-minute, 30-minute, like, commentary, PowerPoint. Like, I, you know, there's
You should honestly just print them out on big things and...
Well, there's, like thousands of pictures. I have to go through them. Yeah, the problem.
But you could do, like, a little art exhibit for them.
No, I know.
Pretty cool.
I want to. That's what I'm saying. I think I will. I truly think I will. I just need to go through the shit.
If you did it, too, you could probably get it into, like, the Visionary Art Museum in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Because that's all non-famous artists. They actually have a section there for people with mental health issues.
For real?
They could, yeah.
Actually?
Yeah. So like,
I didn't know if you were razzing me or not.
No, so like, there's a room that's all people that have schizophrenia and the art that they create.
You think
which
I could make it in there?
Crazy. Honestly, you probably could.
Thanks,
you're crazy
brother.
Enough.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for recognizing my inner schizo.
Of course.
Yeah, that would be cool to curate something like that. This bear, though, reminded me of the Bear Man Woods question.
Yeah, I know you didn't like my take on
it. I didn't dislike
it.
I didn't dislike it. Let's talk about it.
So, first off, I understand
you have to say the question
of the okay. So the question is basically, if you were a woman, would you rather be in the woods with a bear, and doesn't specify which type of bear, which is a big part of it, or a random man? And a lot of women.
That's the question. You heard about this?
I think I saw the post.
It's kind of went viral. This question, because it was answered by some people on TikTok originally. It was posed for women. The question is for women.
Yes.
So obviously we're going to weigh in.
Yeah, of course. And we're going to get shit-faced for it because we're men. We don't understand.
Yeah. But so the question went viral because of the answers were mostly a lot of the women picked bear over the man, which I think. So what's your take before I get mine?
So my thing is, I understand the point of it. I think using absurd examples, and I would consider this an absurd example, does detract from the actual point of it.
I don't, because, and so, and I get that, and I respect that, and I'm not saying I'm right, but I think that, like, we need to have the absurdity in the question for it to even gain traction. Like,
traction.
That's what I'm saying. If the question was like, do you trust men? Because that's, you know what I mean? It's not a fun, it's like, okay, well, and to me, it boils down to like how you feel about human nature, right? That's what the question is, no? Human nature versus animal nature, to me.
To an extent, to me, it projects that more men are bad than there are good men. And I don't think that's a true statement.
It depends on the answer, right? If some women answer and say the man.
Some would rather, and
some
I think
do,
they
yeah.
are correct.
I don't know that there's a correct or incorrect, right? Your feelings are valid. I mean, you're a stupid, dumb bitch, but your feelings are valid.
There's a lot of variables to it. Like
of course,
I said,
that's the thing about
the type
question.
Of bear matters.
Course, the most. That's
brown
the,
bear, grizzly bear?
Yes.
You better take that fucking man, or you're guaranteed dead.
Yeah.
Black bear, I can understand. Koala bear, I can understand.
Well, here's my,
red panda, normal panda.
Here's my thing. I don't think that there's a guaranteed death if you just happen to be in the woods with a bear. How big are the woods? How close are you? There's lots of variables.
There
agreed.
Are.
I will say that, like, I believe that for a man to do something bad to the female, he would have to be nefarious and evil.
Correct.
And they do exist.
They do.
However, for a bear to do something bad to the girl, it just needs to be a bear.
Correct.
So to me, it's like the unpredictability of animal nature alone and my faith in humanity.
Yeah.
I think that 9.9 out of 10 people you see. Someone said, like, how do you feel about this as a hiker? You know, like, aren't you offended?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, as a hiker and a rapist, I can weigh in on this. But it was interesting to me because it ruffled people's feathers intentionally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I did. So as soon as I posted, I was on the golf course. I said, hey, Tibbs.
Watch this.
You're going to watch my Facebook tonight because this is going to be a good one.
Yeah.
You know, I had a couple of drinks in me. I was
sure,
good.
It's
I was
fun.
Like, fuck it. I'm going to post it. But one of the problems that I hate was so many people were like, well, if you look at the amount of brown bear or black bear attacks on people, it's less than like the domestic violence and stuff. But it's like, to me, I go, yeah, well, a bear sees a person what, once
yeah,
it,
how many bears
every
are married
years,
to a nagging ass woman?
A human sees another human a million times a fucking day. So the amount of interactions human to human is way higher than human to bear. So you can't throw that statistic at me and expect me to be like, well, you're right. Bears attack less humans than guys
like,
attack girls.
Well, the bear's wife didn't fuck his coworker.
Exactly.
You know?
So by that logic, sharks are safer than humans. Right?
Correct.
Because like, there's like maybe nine.
It's terrible logic when you get into statistics and ratios. That's why I started my comment with, I believe both to be extremely statistical low probability.
Yes.
However, I do think it sheds a light on two things. Men and women don't understand each other because the men were shocked at the answer.
Correct.
And it's like, well, that's the fear that they live with, you know, a lot of them.
And like I said, I do get
100%. Now, I will say that, like, those fears are so real that statistics don't help comfort them sometimes.
No,
you know?
And that's where, so like, after doing this, after 2 days, one of the things that I took from this was men typically, in my opinion, think more logically, and women, when especially this, are thinking more emotionally.
Get out. Hot take.
We're two different things, bro.
Well, we speak different languages. Yeah, absolutely. And know. We don't even know that we do a lot of the time. That's why I like that question.
Yeah.
Because it helps us find some weird middle ground. And I just feel like it also comes down to, like, that's sad to me that that many people are living in fear. That's
true,
really sad.
So, like, I tried to do research and I couldn't come up to with an actual percentage of, like, the chances of you running into a random millionaire. So, like, you know, the random guy portion of this puzzle. It's a random guy. So how many percentage of random guys are already millionaires? You could walk into a millionaire, get swept off your feet, and be good, you know, versus taking a bear chance.
Yes, but millionaires could rape too.
They can.
Look at Diddy.
But I mean, if you're going to get all the money, take a couple of rapes.
Yeah,
I would.
Right. Yeah. It's like, and then so people were posing the question.
Hit me up, Diddy.
People were posing the question, like, if it was your daughter in the woods, what would you rather? And I'm like, the man.
Yeah.
The man. Someone was like, yeah, the man will, like, help my daughter get to help and safety, probably,
yeah,
if they're a person.
Someone's going
to
reply, like, well, that man could molest your daughter. And it's like, yes, they could, but I'm still taking the odds of a man over leaving the daughter with a bear in the woods.
Yeah, it's really hard to like, differentiate between, like, actual statistical probability fears and then just fears that are in your nervous system, especially ones that are sensationalized. I watch those crime docs. After watching a rape and murder crime doc, it's like, yeah, I wouldn't be too keen on letting my daughter run through the woods, my hypothetical daughter, you know?
Yep. Yeah, and then some people were like, well, the bear at worst is just going to kill you. The men could do a number of things that are worse. And it's like,
yeah,
yes and no. Like, to me, death is still the worst. I understand, like, being tortured before death is pretty, you know, probably worse than just death, but it's still, like, it's death in the end, you know. And I'm a ends justifies the means guy, so, like, to me, it's all about the ends.
Yeah,
death or you know, death in a way, or chance of not death. So I don't know, I personally would take a random anything over a bear. Not anything, most anything over a bear.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting how much traction that bitch got.
And it did get a lot. And the worst part is, this, I'm going to get yelled at for this, but I saw so many women post this that were, like, women that I was like, I wouldn't fuck you with Anderson's dick. Like, well, you don't have to worry about this, bitch. Like, you're not one of the ones. I'm sorry to tell you.
You couldn't fuck anyone with this dick. Yeah. It's like Thor's hammer, you know what I mean? Yeah,
only the righteous can take it.
Yeah. With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish. But that's fucked up. But it is funny. Yeah, it's like someone who, yeah, it's like no one's, yeah, no one's, that's fucked up. You ever been caught jerking off?
So I've never been caught jerking off, but I have gotten caught in the middle of giving a female oral sex by my mother.
Nice.
Eighth grade, yeah.
Eighth grade, pussy eating.
Yeah.
Love that for you.
Yeah, I was pretty adventurous younger, you know?
Wow.
But yeah, we were in the middle of that, and we were upstairs, and the rule was always keep the door open.
Eat the pussy upstairs.
Keep the door open upstairs, and I shut the door because my mom wasn't home at the time. She came home, saw we weren't in the living room where we probably should have been while she was gone. So she ran upstairs and, she had a serious talk with both of us on the couch. It was probably one of the most embarrassing talks I've ever had to go through.
Dude, if all things considered, imagine you're getting, like, pegged by her. You know, it's like, she could have walked in on, like, a lot worse shit.
Yes.
But at eighth grade, I mean, you didn't start getting pegged till 10th, 11th grade.
Yeah, probably like 12th.
Yeah.
You know?
It takes a little bit to mature.
Yeah. So that was closest I've ever been, you know, only time I've ever been actually, like, caught.
You ever been caught jerking off?
No, luckily.
It's very secretive of you. You? Jerking off. I got caught once, but it wasn't a fun story. I did get caught fucking having sex with a girl in her mother's bed by her mother, you know?
That's a nice one.
Yeah, that was terrible.
She was cool with it?
Yeah. She was stoked about it.
She jumped in with him.
She was stoked about it, yeah.
I've seen a lot of porns that go that way. So
she already hated me, too. She already hated me.
Yeah, it happens in porn all the time, so it's got to be true.
Yeah,
right?
No.
The stepmom just watches, gets turned on, comes on in.
She's laying on the bed, and I'm standing at the end of the bed. So my back is to the door, Her legs are in the air. Okay. I'm having sex with her, and I'm vertical. She's horizontal, missionary, yep. Whatever the fuck that's called. And I'm having sex with her, and she's making faces and doing whatever. And then her face changes. Like, I don't see the mom walk in. I'm looking at her, and I see this reaction like a ghost shit. Just appear. Yeah, well, the reaction and the pushing me off of her, and my pants are like around my ankles, dude. And I turn around, and her mom is just like fuming mad. I'm like, I'm running out of the house with pulling my pants up. I swear. And then her mom actually tried to put a restraining order against me. And we had to go to court and everything.
Yeah. So how old were you when this happened?
I think probably 17, and she was like 16 or something, you know what I mean? So yep. I was like a little older, and her mom didn't like it, but we went to court. She tried to put a restraining order against me and said that I was like harassing her daughter. And then the judge let the mom talk first. And the mom's like, yeah, like this is like pre-cell phone shit, you know? And she's like, yeah, well he'll, you know, they have a relationship and I don't approve of it. And he'll call, let it ring once and he'll hang up. And she'll know that, and she'll call him back. And the judge is like, so she's contacting him? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, it's thrown out. It's like, you know what I mean? It was like immediately thrown out. I'm like, oh, I don't have to talk.
He's contacting
sweet.
Him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was just like.
Had to pay the lawyer.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if I probably had like a public defense. I knew I didn't do anything wrong, you know? I was like, I don't know what the fuck. That was crazy.
Yet,
that's the only time anything like that has ever happened to me. That's the only time I've ever admitted it, too, because anytime a guy says to me, like, someone put a restraining order against me, but they were wrong, I'm like, yeah, okay. You know what I mean? Like, it just never sounds right. It's like, but yeah, I was, I'm not a harasser, you know?
Yeah. You're pretty good. Yeah.
I think so.
I'm a sweetheart. You get what you want anyway, so.
I'm a sweetheart. Describe yourself in three words, if you could. I just hate to put you on the spot. All right. Actually, I don't hate it.
Neurotic.
Mm-hmm. Check.
Resolute.
What the fuck does that mean?
I have a strong resolve.
Okay.
What
does that mean?
That, like, if I say I'm going to do something, I do it. I stick to my moral code. Okay. Might not be everyone's moral code, but like my moral code I stick
to.
Sure, sure. And then lastly, I don't know, probably drug addict.
A hyphenated word?
Yeah. I mean, it works. Yeah. Or an addict. I should just say an addict because like it doesn't matter. Drugs. I started drinking in the last year. I find a new anime that I watch and I binge it all fucking night. Video games.
I tell people that.
I'm just addicted to whatever.
I tell people that too. Sometimes I refer to myself as a junkie, you know, and they're like, you're not that. And I'm like, it's okay. I know what I am. And it's not in a bad way. Like, I'm attracted to other junkies.
Yeah.
You know, not like romantically, but this is like, oh, I get you. Yep. Like broken people. It's just like, you know, I know people who don't do drugs. So I'm like, you're a junkie. You might not do drugs, but you have a junkie brain, you know? Yeah. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I just think it's like how I'm wired.
Yeah. I'm the same way.
My
dad's got an addictive personality. My sister has an addictive personality. So it definitely has a genetic component.
Yeah, my dad drank a lot for sure and then smoked himself to death. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I did a lot of the recovery and the abstinence and stuff. And I don't think there's enough people openly and proudly talking about other ways. You know,
as in
continued drug use, as a formerly junk, someone who was addicted to heroin, right, could potentially smoke weed or something, do those things. And it's like, while I wouldn't like to promote that in the way like, oh, you just got clean off of a drug, just keep doing them. It's like, no, I think that you should have a period of abstinence.
Yeah.
And I think that you have to do the self work and you have to, like, you know, I went to rehab after rehab after rehab and all of them said you can never do any substances again.
Yeah.
You know? I understand that. It's like, as a tool, it's beautiful.
Yes.
It makes sense.
But it's not realistic.
It can be, but for me it isn't. And it's like, furthermore, it's like if you can rebalance that relationship. You know?
Yeah.
If you can't, then you can't do it. You know, it's like I used to do drugs the drugs used to do me, now I do the drugs, you know?
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I have other drug issues, like, within my family where I've helped people out, and they've kind of they weren't heroin addicts, but they were, you know, addicted to pills, sent them through rehab and everything, and then they went to a life of, you know, basically, like, using cannabis, and that's it. And like you said, certain people still judge them that they're still using a drug, but it's like,
not sober.
If that can be enough for them at that point, and you know, I think we all agree cannabis is pretty okay,
pretty benign,
benign, then I think you've still won, you know.
Well, that's the thing too, it's like, honestly, if you can do heroin and it doesn't affect you negatively, then you still win. That's impossible. But it's like,
never tried it, so.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, there's a
no, I will when I'm like on the deathbed.
Yeah, that's, I don't know why they're not just shooting everybody with heroin on their deathbed.
That's so, like, that, and then the other thing is, like, if I ever had death by capital punishment because I went to jail or something, I'd be like, shoot me up with fentanyl, bro. None of this lethal injection. So it's happened before. It's happened twice now in our country. I think it was Oklahoma that allowed the first patient to be put down with fentanyl instead of whatever.
Doing it all day in Baltimore.
Yeah. So it's like, give me fentanyl if you're going to put me down.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Bro.
I don't want some random chemicals.
You ever been put to sleep?
Yes.
I love that.
Dude, and you wake up euphoric.
I love that, dude. I remember first time I heard somebody say it, because I never felt comfortable saying that, because I know I'm a junkie, so saying it sounds like fucked up. And then when I heard somebody who wasn't a junkie be like, oh, I love that, I'm like, oh my God.
Dude, it is a great high. Like,
bro, what? So,
like, when I go to the dentist, usually I ask them to put me to sleep, because like, I get anxious with the dentist.
Sure, don't you gotta tell me.
I hate
dentist,
it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'll line it up when I have like 4 or 5 cavities. I'll wait. And then I'm like, you're going to put my ass to sleep first. You're going to do everything you got to do. But like, you get out of that sleep, and like, the rest of the day, you got this like euphoric high, very decreased pain stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, it really does kind of get you through that day without taking the medication that they give you.
You start
and
to
stuff.
Understand Michael Jackson more.
Yeah.
Not the molestation, but you know, he went to sleep every night with that.
Yeah.
Got put to sleep.
Dude, so like
every single night. That's how he died. He ended up doing too much propofol from a doctor every night, put him to sleep. And you know, the ultra rich billionaires will hop on a jet, get put to sleep, and then wake up and fucking across the world, fully rested, vitamin C all up in them. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's fucking genius. You want to talk about time traveling? If you got enough money, you can time travel.
Yeah. So, like, my first time being put to sleep, when I got up, I actually made a Facebook post that said, if I ever hit the Mega Millions, I'm buying a personal anesthetic.
Yeah.
Because it was
anesthesiologist.
Like, yeah. Thank you. But no, it's like, you got like 12 seconds, and not even 12 seconds, you're gone.
Yeah.
And dude, then you wake up feeling great.
Well, unless you have a catheter in you.
I woke up in the middle of a colonoscopy, and I could feel the shit
everywhere
up in my stomach. And I remember the nurse going, like, give him more drugs. He's awake.
That's a horror
story. And then
story,
next thing you know, I was out again.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, no, I've heard stories about that. I am not a fan. I got put to sleep to do my face surgery.
Really? Face surgery. I was thinking a tattoo. I was like,
No. Face surgery. And they put me under, and it was supposed to be like a 3 or 4 hour surgery. It ended up being like 7 or 8 because it was like in worse shape than they thought. They had to put an implant when they thought they could put a plate and yada, yada, yada. But when I came out of it, I came out with a catheter in my dick. So I didn't know that, though. So, look, they wake me up, and they're like, how do you feel? Mr. Anderson, how do you feel? And I'm like, I got to pee. Like, my eyes are still closed, and it feels like the sensation to pee. I'll never forget it. I'm like, I got to pee. And then one of the nurses just goes, no, you don't. No, you don't. And then they pulled the catheter out, which made me so mad because
like,
I'm like,
pull it out beforehand when I'm asleep.
I guess it's protocol or whatever, but I don't get that. You put it in there while I was sleeping, fucking take it out, and it hurts so bad. They wouldn't let me leave until I pissed again to make sure they didn't fuck anything up. Dude, the catheter is not fun.
Yeah.
I also had a tube down my nose one time into my stomach to get charcoal. You want to talk about, and they were awake for that.
Oh,
like, so,
miserable.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're like, okay, you know, I'm going to stick this in your nose while you're wide awake. And you're going to have to keep swallowing over and over again to help this thing get down into your stomach.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah, then I had an EKG, so it went through my throat. But same thing, you're awake through it. And it's just like you feel this tube just keep going down.
It's fucking bizarre feeling.
Yeah, because you can
so
feel
foreign.
It inside of you, too.
Yeah,
and
man,
it's like
it goes there?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just weird that it even goes that far. You're like, is this okay?
Yeah.
It feels like this isn't okay to be in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, surgeries are interesting. But yeah, I'll be put to sleep again in probably January or February.
Sex surgery?
Getting snipped.
Are you?
Yeah, no more babies after this, you know?
You're shooting blanks.
Thank goodness. The fun will begin.
Mm.
But yeah, I have buddies that are like, it doesn't hurt, it doesn't hurt. And it's like, well, it's not going to hurt me because I'm going to tell them to put my ass to sleep first.
Is it always an option?
It is an option. Obviously,
it's
it costs
costly
more.
Option, yeah.
But fuck it.
I've done that to dentists. It does cost a bit.
Yeah, you know, the famous people now that get the tattoos that be put to sleep, like, I wouldn't mind that. Get my whole back done in a single session.
So here's the thing about that tattoo thing. There's, like, a lot of old-timers who are like, that shit's weak, yada, yada, yada.
Pain and...
Yeah. And it's like, if that's what you're doing it for, fine. If you're doing it because you want it to look cool, who gives a fuck, you know? And everyone's journey is their own. Some people are anti-numbing cream. I'm for it.
Yep.
I'm for, like, getting that piece you want.
Now,
if you want to get the pain, then get it. If you don't, then don't. It's like, I mean,
so like my first tattoo, which is my thigh, the guy there was all for numbing cream and everything, and it was real nice.
Yeah.
My arm, which was 3 12-hour sessions, 12 hours of sitting in a chair. The guy was not about it until after hour 10. He was like, I got some Novocaine spray if you want that. I was like, fuck yeah, I want that.
Bro,
but after 10 hours.
How frustrating is it that he didn't start with that? Or start at least saying it. When I got my knee done, I got my knee blasted, my kneecap, okay? Yeah. At the fucking tattoo convention. I am going through it.
Mm-hmm.
Halfway through, the owner of the little place comes over and he's like, did you spray him? And he's like, nah, should I? I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I can spray you and numb. I'm like, bro.
What the fuck you doing?
How dare you? Dude, it's like one of those things, like, it's good, but now I'm retroactively mad. Like,
oh, yeah.
You ever had a blowjob for someone you've been with for a while, but it was so good that you're retroactively mad that it wasn't always that good? You're like, wait a minute. You can do that?
Yeah.
Where the fuck has she been? Invite her back, you know?
Yeah, the first tattoo artist, he's like, the bottles are expensive, so I can't use it that often. I was like, how much a bottle costs? He's like, $40. I was like, I'll buy two of them.
Yep,
keep
two.
That shit fucking
here's
numb two. For the rest of this eight-hour session today.
About?
Like,
here's two.
You tell me what it costs to keep the shit numb, and I'm going to pay it, you know? Like, yeah, I'm not a tattoos need to be painful. Like, it's... You know, I sat through pain, obviously.
I couldn't
do it.
Sit for 12 hours. Fuck
dude,
that.
It was rough. Mike C went with me the one time we were there.
Up in New York, I was walking around for 12 hours while he was fucking doing that.
Yeah. You know?
Checking the streets out.
That old school, but it's like the take shots with no chaser and type shit. Like,
exactly.
It's like the end piece should be what it's about, right? And for me, I want to have a not fucked up piece. And if I get fucking where I might, like, my shit's raw. My chances of fucking jerking are high.
Yeah.
Way higher.
Well, yeah. And your body, like, when you start to get a tattoo, your body is physiologically, like, sending stuff to that spot.
Sure.
It runs out of shit to send it.
Oh, yeah.
It just does.
Your brain
scientifically.
Itself.
Yeah. Yeah. So you run out.
The only good thing was he gave me a session price, not an hourly price. So I was cool with him putting in as many hours as he could.
Sure.
So my sessions
trying to get
were
some
so
value.
Many. Yeah. You know? But. I think I'm ready for another one, and I'm definitely going to try to get the nummy shit again.
Yeah. Well, they make a cream you can put on prior.
Yeah, some artists say, though, that'll make, like, your skin a little slippery. Mm-hmm. So, like, the tattoo artist, if he's not used to it or you don't tell him, could, like, mess it up.
Yeah, definitely inform the artist and talk to your artist prior.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm ready for another tattoo, though. It's been a while.
Yeah. I just wish I had money.
Me too. Well, I've got other things that I'm saving money for, you know. And then I did just put in the backyard for the kid and the wife. So that was...
You put in a backyard?
I paid someone to put in the backyard. Yeah, so
well,
like
backyard
my backyard
was already there.
It was, but it was trashy.
So
I mean,
you had
weeds,
someone redo the backyard.
Yeah, so they scraped it all off. I've got a 20 by 10 mulch area that we're putting a playset in for EJ. Put a patio. We'll get furniture and a fireplace. And then some landscaping stuff, and then I moved the fence up 20 yards, so I actually got a larger backyard now, which is nice too. And yeah, it was nice because, like, for 3 months, once I booked it and then waited for it, you know, the wife was really happy with me and all. And I didn't get yelled at all, and here it is done. And you know,
not getting yelled at's tight.
It was, but you know,
all things end.
But now
it
it's,
all
now,
ends.
Now it's, yeah,
now
now
it's back to normal. Yeah. You know, I got to do my jobs again.
Mm-hmm. You're
but
the cook. Okay. You're the cook in the house.
I am the cook 90% of the time, probably. Yeah, so I do the cooking and the dishes. She takes care of making sure EJ's fed.
Who does the shopping?
I do the shopping most of the time as well.
Mm,
shopping's probably a 70-30 split. But, like, I like to go, like, right after work. I might smoke a joint or something, hit the grocery store, buy dinner for that night, maybe the next night. And then, yeah, go home and start chopping my shit up.
I hate the grocery store, dude. I hate it. Hate going. I don't even like eating that much. Like, if I didn't have to eat, I'd eat once a month. It takes so much, like, of my, I guess not so much, but over a lifetime, the cognitive time about, like, what to eat, where to eat, driving to get the food, the setting up of the cooking it. God forbid cooking. You got to cut the shit up. You got to put it in the bowls and the dishes, and then you got to wash the shit, then you got to eat. Then you got to put the shit that you don't eat in the Tupperware. It's like, haven't I eaten enough in this lifetime? I'm 34 years deep of eating. It just seems like I should be good for a couple years. I'm not saying forever, but I could get a couple years off, you think.
Well, like, also, why don't they just, like, invent where people need photosynthesis and not even have to eat anything? That
dude,
would be way more efficient.
You know how many 100%. Incels would die from not leaving their basement?
Why can't we use 100% of the energy produced by the food that we eat, so we don't have to shit anymore either? Like, let's stop eating and shitting.
Shitting,
or if we're gonna eat, can we eliminate the shitting? Eliminate the eliminations, please.
Yeah.
Right.
Use it all. 100%
be more efficient. You know? If we were more efficient, we wouldn't need to shit big logs.
Pills for food. When are we gonna get the pills for food?
Yeah. I tried that for a couple years.
Okay, not in that way.
Yeah.
But similar.
Yeah,
similar. Dude, you save so much time. I figure an hour to shop, an hour to cook, give or take, maybe a half hour to eat and wash up. That's 2.5 hours, roughly.
How many hours do you really get a day? After work, after shower,
not
after
enough.
Exercise, after
not fucking enough.
No.
So and yeah, you got like, kids if I and go shit? If I go shopping after work, so I get off of work about 4:30, home by 5, probably cook dinner till 5:45-ish, depending on what I'm making. Eat till 6:15, and then like you said, we got 45 minutes to an hour. Put the baby to bed. And then usually an hour after that, my wife goes to bed, and then I stay up for another hour watching whatever I want to watch.
Yeah, that 1 hour a day is what you get.
Yeah, it is.
And
that one hour a day
when everyone else is sleeping.
Yeah, and I love it, and people are like, because I'll have to stay up till like 11 o'clock and get up at 6. People are like, man, like, that's a little rough, but it's like that hour to myself
is
worth
shit.
The hour of sleep that I give up for it, you know,
for sure.
To do whatever I want. If I want to play
video
games.
I hear a lot of parents say that at the end of the night when everyone, it's like the only, or the early in the morning before anyone's awake is like the only time of peace and quiet.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, I sleep in. The wife gets up early, so she gets that. Excuse me. I get the nighttime, you know.
Also, we're going to do a raffle. My ADHD.
Yeah,
so we're going to raffle all, not, yeah, I guess it's a raffle, right?
Giveaway, whatever
we're
you want to call
giveaway.
It.
Whatever a giveaway. Do like some giveaway.
sure.
So yeah, we're going to basically, if you've commented on a video, if you comment from here on out for the next month, if you comment on a video, we'll put you in a raffle, give you like a $50 gift card or some weed or something. Don't know what the gift will be, but if you comment, your name will be in the raffle.
You're in it.
One comment per raffle.
Honestly,
or
no,
one?
If you do like that all, I think we'll have 3 videos for the rest of the month, give or take. I'll give you one entry per. Like, if you give me a comment on each
right,
video.
Right, but you can't comment multiple on the same video and get multiple entries.
Yeah.
So one per video from here till the giveaway.
And
so
a decent comment.
If it's
no
fucking.
Bullshit.
I don't honestly care about
if it's,
it. But
if it's
sure.
fucking 3 people, it's 3 people, you know? Yeah,
I comment on
it.
A lot of them.
Hey, man, $50 for 3 people. That's good odds, man. Good odds. 1 in 3?
Yeah, we're up to 195 subscribers today.
Really?
So,
that's,
yeah,
that's
195.
Damn good.
Not bad, dude. If we get to 250, I won't kill myself.
Five.
For yet.
4 months, 4 full months.
I gave myself a lot of time there because I was like pretty sure I might do it, you know? So I'm like, let me not be, I want to be a man of resolve.
There you go.
I wanted to be resolute.
Word of the day.
Resolute is a good one. I know resolve, but resolute is like that's the kicker.
A little extra. I did go to college.
Oh, wow.
That helps a little
bit.
Quit
bragging. all right, let's go to a quick commercial break from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
I was figuring you would open that one.
And we're back to the second half of.
So, like, I was thinking about this. Like,
dicks.
How would young you feel about old you now? Like, did you do all the things you said you were going to do when you were a kid now?
Bro, here's the thing, though, man. It's like, that's.
I'm not saying young you was smart. Like, he could be wrong.
For sure. No, I get the question. It's like, I don't think I did a lot of future thinking.
Ooh, fair.
You know, young. And then I got into the drugs so young, and they took me. To where it's like future. I need to get well in 20 minutes or I'm going to rob someone. Yeah. So like, I am extremely happy now with who I am, you know, as a kid, I don't know. I think I'd be pretty happy with me. I was like really into, I don't know. That's an interesting question.
So for me, basically I was like, all right, what would young me say to me now? And basically he'd be screaming in my face, like, you didn't do any of the fucking things you said you were going to do. Like, instead of like doing like sports and stuff you were actually good at from like, I did sports from up to 8th grade until like I got the choice to not do it. Cause my mom
probably
basically signed me up. Well, I was doing skateboarding. And I was doing the band thing. I thought I was going to be a rock star at one point.
Sure.
And then like,
I think you're a rock star.
I didn't do the work. I look back and I'm like, I didn't do any of the fucking work. Like, you know what it takes to be a rock star? A fucking lot.
Work.
Like,
yeah.
A lot of work. Like, yeah.
Work.
You're like, oh, dude, rock stars are born. Like, nah, dude.
No.
Not even close.
No.
Like,
I think that, yeah, I guess I just didn't have a whole lot of, I was like, genuinely, like, not to be over, like, dramatic, but, you know, everyone says, like, I didn't think I'd make it till 30. It's like, my friends are dying in front of me and, like, going to prison. I'm like.
That's a true statement for you.
Yeah. Like,
you know, or was back then.
Yeah. Like, now for me, it was like, yeah, it's jails, institutions, or death. That's what they talk about in the NA and AA rooms. And it's like, that's where my path ended up. So, in my head, it was like, I'm either life in prison, I'm overdosed, or I've somehow made it clean, and who knows what that looks like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm extremely happy with where I'm at now for sure. Because I thought I'd be dead. So like, if you were a heroin addict, you'd feel great. You know what I mean? Cause it's like, you were the good kid and then became like late. It's like, I was the bad kid and then became better, you know?
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, my old self would be perplexed because up until college, I was pretty straight edge kid. Drank a little bit here and there, but absolutely no drugs. They're the worst thing on the planet. All of that. Go to college, realize that smoking weed and stuff isn't nearly as bad as DARE program made it out to be.
I would argue, though, it's the best time. It's good to wait.
Yeah, definitely. I'm happy that
I
if
I got to pick it, you know, it's like I'm not anti-drug experimentation, right? It's your life. You're going to live it. Yep. Also, no matter what you tell the kid, they're going to do whatever they want
to
do.
Yeah, and that's why I want to just stress to my kid as he gets older.
He'll definitely listen to this.
I want him to first wait to smoke weed till about 18. I understand here and there is a different story, but like 18, you're getting closer to your fully developed brain. But the big lesson that I wish I would have learned that I'm going to try to distill in him is to keep it as like a weekend thing, or definitely not an everyday thing. Because that's where I think I fucked up, is I went from not smoking weed to smoking weed every single day.
Right. Well, I think that's a great point. And the thing about the weed is like, people are like, well, weed's not addictive, or weed's not this. But as you said earlier,
it's mentally addictive.
Well, as you said earlier, you can be addicted to anything. That's the thing about the weed not being addictive. It's like, people are addicted to
porn. It's not physically. You're not going to get withdrawals. Right. But you will get addicted to the feeling.
Yep. And I think
the coping of it.
For sure.
Of that,
the relying
on
it. Yeah. You know, and then routine of it, right?
Correct.
Like, that's another thing. It's like, for me, it's individual basis, because it's how do you feel?
Yeah.
Are you doing this to enhance yourself, or are you doing this to run, or to numb, or to not be present, or in reality? Are you doing this just out of routine?
Yep.
Is it healthy? It's
and
like,
it's
you
a
have to
combination take it of all those things at this point. You know, like,
yeah,
one of the main reasons I smoke is because like, I'm an insomniac if I don't smoke, so I have to smoke right before bed. Otherwise, I'm laying in bed staring at the ceiling for 4 hours before I fall asleep.
Yeah,
you know, but like,
were you an insomniac before you ever tried the weed, though?
I was. Yeah, okay. But I was also way more productive. Like, so when I went to college, triple majored, an average student takes 12 to 16 credits a semester. I was taking 32 credits a semester.
Flex.
For real, though. Like, I was one of two kids in my entire college that triple majored.
And the other one was Asian.
It was.
Shocker.
Yeah. So, like,
shot in the dark.
You know, I because I'd stay up late, I would do all this extra work and shit like that, and then start smoking weed, go to bed early, you know, but on the flip side of that, I think my younger self would be really happy with the fact that I'm a father, a husband, and I think I'm pretty good at both of them. Obviously, could improve in all that, but pretty damn good, I think.
Yeah, I like that you added pretty good at them, because being a father and a husband doesn't mean a fucking thing if you're not good at them.
True.
Like, it takes coming and signing a thing to get married. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, to be a father, you have to come in a woman.
Yep.
Which is a task.
Yeah.
And then they always want to run, you know? And then, yeah, to be a husband, you have to sign the paper. But people are miserable or bad or toxic or abusive. So it's not
and
just about having
I love my wife very much. I think we are
that.
Great,
I love starting something with
great
that.
Great partnership.
But?
No, but. I think so, like, for the people out there that, you know, just like Grimes said last week, a big part of that is making sure that you two still have your thing.
Mm.
The baby is important, correct. But you and your wife is just as important, because if you don't do the stuff for you two, then you're just kind of like counting tasks on how you're each helping the kid. So we're lucky enough that we both have, you know, grandparents on both sides, and they're very helpful. So at least once a week, my wife and I get to have a date night, her and I.
So yeah, that's
so
a privilege like a motherfucker.
We go out to dinner, or sometimes we'll stay and build Legos or paint night. But there's one night a week that her and I get to do a date.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is huge. And then I think you also got to throw in like one major vacation a year with just you and your wife and no kid. You know, this year we were supposed to go to Salem next week, but we had to cancel that trip. But we're probably just going to go to Ocean City instead for 3 days, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to do those things to keep everyone happy, yourself happy. And, you know,
were your parents anti-drug growing up?
So this one's a little tricky. My parents were anti-marijuana growing up. Well, not even really. So, like, by the time I did it, I was in college. So, they understood I was an adult. So, like, when my mom and dad, I told them that I was smoking weed. very close family. My mom was a cheerleading coach at Northeast.
So she's seen you eat pussy, for Christ's sake.
She understood also what kids my age were doing because she was a cheerleading coach.
Good callback.
So, like, I told her that I started smoking weed, and the one thing she said to me was, don't smoke weed in my house. We got a big backyard, big porch, smoke out back. And that's pretty reasonable for a parent. Most parents, you know.
That's what my mom said with the heroin.
Yeah, yeah.
Go out back.
But the other drugs that I will indulge in occasionally, they do not really like.
Do you mind stating your full name and naming the drugs for the record?
And how much you use and how often and where you get them. Where you get them.
The full name of where you're getting them.
So one of the worst ones or situations, I get vertigo. And the very first time I had it.
Can you explain what that is? Some people think it's a color.
So vertigo is when you lose your equilibrium. Typically, it has to do with your ears. So, like, everything starts spinning. You know, like, if you're, you know, when you're super drunk and you lay down on the bed and it all starts spinning.
Oh, I do.
It is that. But sober. So the first time it happened to me, I got up.
So basically you're weak.
You're falling over.
No, you specifically are weak for having it.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And it's fucking miserable. So the first time I had it, didn't know what it was.
How old are you? And like, how do you, when does that come on?
This was probably 26 to 28, somewhere in that range, you know? Living with Tibbs and Johnny at the time. I wake up, I go to take a piss, I fall over. Stand up, fall over. Stand up, fall over. I
sober.
Can't walk.
Sober.
Yeah, sober.
And out of
right
nowhere.
In the morning. Out of nowhere.
Bro, I would have been so scared. I'd have been like, God is mad.
And then next thing
he knows
know,
about the tranny porn.
I start throwing up because, you know, dizziness makes you throw up. So I'm throwing up. I go downstairs. This is football Sunday. The Ravens are playing. I go, Tibbs, you need to take me to the fucking hospital. Ah, funny, man. Funny, bro. I'm like, no, like, I can't stand up by myself right now. So he takes me to the hospital.
I've been
and
like,
all.
Wait till the game's over, man.
I'm throwing up in the waiting room and everything. Like, literally, I'm dry heaving every 5 seconds. Uncontrollably. So I get in the back and all. Tibbs then, you know, my mom shows up. So Tibbs leaves so he can go watch football. Me and my mom are there. The doctor comes in and she's like, so, you know, did your blood test. We found some drugs in there. And my, you know, he goes, do you want to talk about this with your mom in the room or not? I'm like, you know, my mom's close, whatever. So he's like, you know, what drugs do you have in your system? I was like, yeah, marijuana. And my mom's like, oh, yeah, he smokes a lot of that. And then I was like, cocaine. And my mom looked at me and said, what the fuck? She said, you better not be doing that shit. So, like, weed where she was
that.
Cool
I,
with.
I love that there's this, like, scientific proof that it's there. And she's like, you better not be. Yeah. Like, it's such a mom thing. It's like, it's already happened.
Yep. Yeah, so, like, that was her introduction to me doing something harder than marijuana. Probably in a setting that wasn't the best setting for it.
Sure.
But, you know, I have a great relationship with both my parents. I would rather them know. In case anything were to happen, they're in the know about it. But yeah, so she wasn't happy about that. The fact that I do mushrooms from time to time, she's pretty cool with because it's, once again, organic.
How do you navigate that as the kid grows up?
For me, especially
since
I've done
so
many.
Yet, but yeah, like, you got to shield them from that at first, yeah?
Yeah, I would, yeah. Yeah, there's a certain age and time.
It's
where
a fine
it's...
line between, like, keeping their innocence and then preparing them for the actual world that we're living in.
Yes.
And that's a fun, that's a line that moves, you know, preparing.
Building enough trust with your kid that he's willing to tell you a lot mm-hmm. of those things. So if anything does happen, you're okay. You know,
yeah,
like,
that, yeah.
Like the parents that let the high school kids come over and drink at their house. They know they're going to drink. They're high school kids. So I'd rather it be in my house. I'm going to take the keys as the adult type of situation. And there, I had a lot of buddies that did that and stuff. So like those things, I think help train your kid, like, yeah, you can do these things, you do them in moderation, they're okay. Keep me in the fucking loop, though. So
yeah.
If anything were to happen, I'm not blindsided.
Yeah, you know? Well, I think that, like, it's so funny in society how, like, when we hear a story about, like, a 12-year-old doing something or a 13-year-old or like, they're fucking or they're doing drugs and people are just like, at that age? Yep. And it's like, what world did you grow up in?
Exactly.
I just, that's like my, I'm biased because I don't have any children, right? So I'm biased against kid movies.
Mm-hmm.
And even that movies that aren't kid movies, if a movie's PG-13, I think it should have been R. And I know I'm like close-minded about that, but the world I live in is rated R. Like, yeah. It's just like, I just feel like it's, everyone kind of like lies about their own, like, it'll be a mom, you know, who was doing drugs and having sex at 14, and then their kid does it, and they're just like blown the fuck away. It's like, how did you put that so far out of your own mind
yeah.
that it's become foreign to you, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. I was just curious about the parents because, like, it's looking back, I'm curious to know, like, how much I was attracted to the drugs because it was, like, cool. Like, I remember thinking that the people who were sober were squares and the people who were cool were doing drugs. So when my dorky-ass mom, no offense, Mom, I love you, Sheila. Yeah. When my mom's like, you know, drugs are bad, I'm like, well, you're a fucking dork. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're a fucking dweeb.
That was like, my mom. Like, she's never smoked cigarettes.
Yeah.
I got her to try an edible once. She took too much, made her sick, so she's not about them anymore.
Dosage is important. Some people will try a drug.
Well, she
and
also
say,
didn't
no good.
Listen to me. So that night for dinner, she went out and had some drinks. And my mom's not a big drinker at all. Like, one, maybe two drinks is, like, her max. So she had two drinks and then ate an edible. When I told her, like, don't do your medication, because she's on other medications, too, that would enhance the stuff. And I said, don't drink. And then she called me the next day. You almost fucking killed me. It was so bad. I almost had your father take me to the hospital. I said, well, did you drink? She said, yeah, I had some drinks for dinner. I said, didn't I tell you? Like, Mom, I'm the expert in this. I told you don't do these things. You did it, and you had a bad experience. That's on you, bitch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it's like, it's one of those things that's like, if just because it helps you, it might not help everyone, you know? I'm not one of those people who's like fucking ignorant enough to be like, everyone should do it, man. It's like, no, maybe you shouldn't fucking do it, you know? But dosage is important. The difference between a medication and a poison is dosage.
And that's, so like my mom, she's had 5 back surgeries in her life. So she's on some pretty heavy opioids. So that's why she wanted to try the marijuana route to see if maybe if she could take an edible, she could decrease some of the opioids she was on, which is better for your liver and a bunch of other things, you know? So it kind of sucks that her experience with it was so bad because it could have opened up some avenues for a different type of medication.
The programming that has come in with the older generation with drugs is insane.
Oh yeah, Nancy Reagan.
Is it Pelosi? I don't know. Fuck all of them. I don't even know him. But my grandfather, he like it will be in pain, dude, in fucking pain. He won't do no weed. It's for like hippies and losers, you know.
Yep.
And even the pain medicine, he's like, it makes me drowsy. I'm like, bro, you're 80 fucking 3 or something. Like, be drowsy. Yeah, what are
drowsy
you
drowsy and no pain?
Dude,
or
yeah, like, that's my thing too. It's like I've actually heard a story. I forget who it was. I wish I knew, but somebody when they were dying got an IV of LSD, and it was like recorded as one of the most peaceful deaths ever because it's like it can alleviate your fear of death and shit like that. Not
like
always,
all
but
hallucinogens,
yeah. Suicide,
dude, drowsy at 80 though. That's got to be rough. Like, drowsy at 26 is a little, or 36, Jesus Christ, a little rough. Like, but to be, like, up there, like, he's probably comatose with this
pills.
I know,
but here's the thing.
Would you rather, like, be in a coma?
Extreme pain or comatose?
But, like, you're not alive when you're in a coma.
He's not alive either way.
I mean, yeah, probably not. But I'd rather be living and with the pain than, like, asleep on my bed all day.
Not me. For the record, the last 10 years, I want to be on a morphine drip. It's just like
a button.
Yeah, the quality of life goes down, you know, the older you get. I watch all those crime docs. Mm-hmm. I watched this one. It's not funny at all. It's terrible. And I just laugh when I'm about to say it. But this kid, maybe 18 or 19 or something, killed this 98-year-old woman who, like, lived in his neighborhood. And I'm just like, she was probably so happy, bro. Like, I've met people who are, like, late 80s, bro. And they're, like, multiple people that I've known intimately have been like, I can't wait to die.
For the end.
Yeah. Just so happy. My prayers have been answered. It's just this guy with a fucking
my
bat.
Prince.
Yeah.
There are some that are older and still do well.
Agreed.
So, like, my wife, she has her grandmother still. She's 92 years old.
I love
she
hearing
goes
stories
and,
like
she
this.
She goes and plays cards 5 nights a
she
week.
Drives?
She drives. She plays
Yo,
cards with her friends 5 nights
she
a week.
Drives.
She goes to the gym twice a week. Like,
but how long
has
she been doing all that? Because that's probably why she's still going.
Probably since, like, 60
or so. It's when you
so.
Stop doing all that shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You
Newton's law of physics,
apart,
you know?
Dude, everything.
An object in motion stays in motion. So
well, they
keep
say
moving.
Even, too, about, like, relationships and isolation. You know, people who are, like, you know, isolated die sooner than people who have relationships. Even if they're friend relationships, you know? Like, you got to keep a hobby, keep a something.
Oh, yeah.
I actually had, you know, 2 grandfathers, obviously, right? And they were, like, very opposites, where one got into, like, a bunch of hobbies and stuff and, like, was constantly learning, and the other one just was kind of like, I did it.
Yeah.
I did it.
Yep.
They both still alive?
No, one is. The one I got to watch die, and it was...
Is it the hobby one or the non-hobby one?
The hobby one died.
Fuck. Mm-hmm. Didn't work for him.
Nope. But his wife died. prior. The other ones, both are still alive.
Yeah, oh, that's a big part of it. See, can't use that.
Bro, if you want to talk about sad, bro, listen, this guy, my grandfather, I probably told this story 100 times on this podcast, but my grandfather, my dad's dad, my dad was already dead. My dad's mom was already dead. So my grandfather's Bob, right? His wife, Sarah, is dead. She'd been dead for maybe a year or two. His son's dead. You know, he's just, he's ready to go. He's whatever's taking over him. I forget even what. Who gives a fuck? He's just getting old. He's dying. So he's in hospice, bro. And he is a man of very few words. So when he speaks, everyone listens. And he's on his deathbed. So everyone's really listening. Yeah. Room's full of people. His breathing is labored. So it's like when he's like, he'll stop for a little bit. And you're like, oh shit, he's dead. No one says it, but everyone thinks it. And then it's, you know, it's crazy, right? So you're just like, for a little while, waiting, right? And this is the craziest part. He's like, for a little bit, he like appears to stop breathing and then like breathes and he opens his eyes, bro. And the sadness in this man's eyes that he was still alive, bro. I'm not kidding. And then he said something I'll never forget because it was so slow and we were waiting on every word. Mm-hmm. He's like, we thought, like, you just thought you were dead.
Yeah.
So whatever you're saying now is going to have to be profound, you know? And he was just like, and I've never seen him more sad. He's very stoic, man, a few words, you know? And he was like, tears in his eyes, clearly just in anguish. And he says, I just wish I knew. And he paused like this. Everyone's just like, what the fuck, you know? He goes, I just wish I knew.
And then dead.
And you just never know. No! He goes, I just wish I knew what magical combinations of words I have to say to get to my Sarah. Literally, that's verbatim. Yep. I'll never forget it because I thought it was so poetic. You know, it wasn't just like, how do I get to my dead wife? It goes, I just wish I knew, in this long pause, you know, what magical combination of words I could say to get to see my Sarah. Jeez. It's like, oh, bro, you want to talk about heart ripping. Yep. And especially for someone who's like me, where I'm like, oh, you poor thing. You're never going to see her again. You know what I mean? Like, in my head, it's like, it's nice if you have that.
I was going to be like, you're so close. Like, yeah. But yeah, that's
if you have that belief. I'm not saying it's.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
But that's what I would have said.
And I'm not saying for sure.
Yeah. And you want to put the pillow over your face?
Yeah. Well, someone told me recently, like, when their grandparent was dying, he got to hold her hand. And no offense, I love you. And I told you this at the time, too. But he held her hand. He's like, just so you know, everyone's going to be good and everything's going to be okay. And I'm like, that's beautiful. You have no idea. It's like, that is a beautiful thing to say to someone dying, but it just comes across as disingenuous because how the fuck would you know? Everyone could die on the way home today. Yep. It's a sweet sentiment, which is why it's like, I'm cunty about it, but it's like, I wouldn't say that because I don't know that. I mean, everything's okay no matter what, really. So, like, that's how I feel about it. Like, if people die, it's still okay. It genuinely is always okay.
Yeah. That grandmother, Sarah, is that who your sister's named after?
It is.
Are you named after anyone?
I don't think so.
That's where the drugs came from.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
I didn't get a fucking namesake.
You didn't, you know. You saw your sister, and you're like, boom, connection. Where's my connection?
Yeah,
drugs.
I felt lost in the world. It wasn't the molestation.
Had to make your own.
Well, dude, they told me my name was Justin Time until I was, like, 10.
What?
Yeah. They literally said my name was Just In Time Anderson until I was 10.
Like, that'd be a cool story if, like, the hospital was closing and, like, you had to be born. Otherwise, like, I don't know, you just... You're just in time.
Well,
we just got you in there.
The worst part is my middle name is the letter T. It's not even a name. It's not even a name.
Okay.
It's not even a name. On my birth certificate.
For real? So you're like fucking Homer Simpson. Homer J. Oh, actually, no. J stands for J. J-A-Y.
Yeah,
never mind. Different.
No. Well, yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Just the letter T. Just letter T. And the story was like she was going to write time and then got like cold feet because she's like, I didn't want you to hate me. And I'm like, I like that way better than T. It's like right around the time I find out Santa Claus isn't real, I find out my name is not real.
Justin Time Anderson, though.
Justin Time Anderson.
You like that?
Yeah, I like Justin Time.
I like it as like a funny, like, but if I found out that's your real fucking name, I got questions.
Well,
like,
we had
what?
A kid at work for
fucking
me
what?
Whose name was Joe King.
Was Joe King.
Yeah.
Jesus
His
Christ.
Last name King, first name Joe, birth certificate. It's like, what type of parent are fucked up are you, you know? Name your kid joking.
If your last name is Head and you name your kid Richard, it's stuff like that, dude. Like, you're being a dick.
Yeah.
Like, you are being a literal dickhead.
Yeah. The last names came from all, like, what we used to do, huh?
Probably. Or, like, you were Anders' son or whoever the fuck Ander was. Like,
dude,
Michael's son.
Dude, I need to find Anders' character.
Yeah, dude. Who the fuck
and
is
I'm
he?
Thomas Jefferson's. Direct grandson.
Definitely.
Totally. The red hair, freckles.
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely. There was a guy named Jeffer running around. He had a bunch of kids, and someone from your line is one of them, I guess.
Yep.
Weird.
That is strange.
Wonder if they're named Jeff Jefferson's. Stupid. Fuck.
Definitely. Dude, the world's so big, there's just like a lane for everything. There was a full-blown article on BBC about a monkey torture ring. You know about this?
No.
So they busted, like federal agents busted this monkey torture ring. And it's like exactly what it sounds like, where this guy was like the monkey king or something. I swear to God, I wish I could read. No, it's insane. He's like, if you wanted to fuck monkeys up, I was the guy, you know? And they had like a telegram and this underground network. And it's just like, imagine you're just like typing in the computer one day, like, just, you know, let me see. And then it's just like, oh, yeah, there's a whole fucking world.
If you wanted to kill people but wanted a lesser charge for when you got caught. Monkey, I mean, like it's
fills
kind of
the
like
need in a way.
People adjacent,
sense. No, they are very human-like.
I mean, dude, monkey fights would be cool.
Depending on the monkey, you know, you got little tiny monkeys,
two chimps,
but like,
dude? No, dude, all monkeys.
Oh, like
throw
setting
shit,
it up.
So I'm happy to watch any
like
monkey
a chicken fight, but
rip
a monkey, any
exactly.
monkey apart.
There two chimps in
I'm
there.
I'm not
like,
man. That would
two
be
gorillas.
Sick.
As a little kid, I like monkeys. Once I saw they throw shit, I'm out. And
oh,
they steal.
Yes.
So they steal. Yeah, they're not friendly.
Dude, have you seen the TikTok videos of people who live with them?
No.
Bro, like there's that. Videos of like.
What do you mean live with them? Like in their area or in their house?
In their house.
Ooh.
And listen, they'll have like the diaper on and shit, but they'll have like ropes hanging and like little board. Like they'll hop on skateboard. Dude, it's the way they're able to move through these houses. It's alarming. It's not even like it's so effective that it's alarming. It's like, oh my God, dude, this thing was meant to move.
Yeah.
Once you see a monkey move through a house, you're like, oh. We should give them the houses. What the fuck are we doing with these? Drywall, get out of here.
Well, I mean, monkeys are getting to the Stone Age, so it won't be far.
Yeah.
They're using tools, using spears.
Man, otters been using rocks to, like, break open nuts and shit for a long time, and otters are still just ottering. I don't know. I mean, I believe in evolution, but, like, I don't know. Part of me is like, something's weird here.
There's something I can guarantee. Something's weird here.
Well, I mean, we've been touched by the aliens. That's why we're so different.
Could be. I'm as for that as I am for God. I mean,
I think
just
we're
as
genetically
plausible.
Modified creatures, partially of something that was already here on Earth and partially from some alien race. Maybe the Anunnaki. Who knows?
Here's the thing, though. It's like. Well, where did the Anunnaki come from, right?
So the theory is Nibiru, which is a planet 9.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like,
even the idea about, like, when people are, like, doing this thing to try to find meaning or, like, a higher purpose, which I understand, it's also okay if there's not. Like, the idea that, like, if you look at actual evolution of the Earth, or the universe, for God's sakes, right? You're just like, oh, we mean nothing.
Of course.
If you look at the actual timeline, we just mean nothing. Yeah. And we're so self-centered.
If you're super logical, you have to be a nihilist.
Yeah, right.
You have to.
Well, I heard an Alan Watts quote recently. You know Alan Watts, right? Mm-hmm. He it was this little cool clip that was like, a lot of people say that we are born into the universe. He's like, that's not true. We are born out of the universe. We are fruits from this universe tree. And I just thought that was such a cool spin. It's like, we're not born into this universe. The universe is, we're here because of the universe. Yeah. Like, that was the apple tree, we're the apple.
Yep.
And it just gives you, like, this sense of, like, that's like that Rumi quote, you are not a drop in the ocean, you are the entire ocean in a drop, you know?
Yep.
Bars.
Good sayings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big quote guy.
Me too, actually.
Got a whole folder of them.
One of my favorite things, went to college, and every first class you have, even in, like, high school, they're like, say your name and something fun about you, you know?
My name's Justin. I was molested.
I had one teacher that was like, say your name and your favorite quote.
Should have said
this. I was like, that's a better way to get to know someone, their favorite quote, versus like, hi, I'm Ed. I played football for 15 years.
Well, that's agreed. And that's the same thing about like introducing a guest. I really don't give a fuck what your job is. I really don't give a fuck how many siblings you got. You know, it's like there's certain stuff I don't care about. I'd much rather know, like, what have you been thinking about lately? What's something you're looking forward to? What's a good quote that you like?
Yep.
That stuff's not for you, I would say, though. Like,
what do you mean?
That stuff's for the people watching. Like, sure. That's just like a quick bullshit. Like, this is who this person is in three words or whatever.
I get that. It just...
I know, but, yeah.
I know it's for them. Sucks. It also just makes... I would hate to be the guest and someone be like, so who are you? It's like, bro, nobody. What the fuck? Ask me some other questions. When you it's go, just because then it's like,
my name's Edward.
Yeah,
John,
well, when someone's like, who are you? People want to name their profession and they're this and they're that. It's like, but who, you know.
But who are you?
Yeah.
It's like when you go to a comedy club and it's like they're introducing people and they're saying their credentials. And like, I wrote for a show you never fucking heard of. Or like, I was a one-off. It's like, don't even say any of that shit.
Yeah.
Just say nothing. I'm a comedian. Like, you know, at a certain point,
I'm a writer.
It's, yeah. So I get it both ways.
Yeah. It's hard, dude. You know what? Having a podcast is hard. People are like, it's so here's the thing. It's like, I don't even know if I'm supposed to have one because I'm like, all right, I'm funny, right? All right, I'm like, you know, I find myself to be funny. I find myself to be interesting. Other people have said it to me here and there throughout life. So I'm like, let me do this thing. Yeah. But I almost feel like I'm just like a podcast guest. You know what I mean? Like, I want people to ask me questions. Like, I'm like,
hey, well, what's your favorite quote?
I don't have a favorite quote.
Give me a good one. Just a good
first one you can think of. Fuck it.
Well, mostly my phone, I'll have it memorized, but
you have to have one memorized, and that's gonna be it.
Right.
You're thinking
so. One of my favorite ones is we are the middle children of society. We have no great war and no great depression. Our great war is a spiritual war, and our great depression is our lives. Fight Club.
Yeah.
Cool.
Great movie. Yeah. One of my favorite quotes in Fight Club, after the sex scene, she goes, I haven't been fucked like that since grade school.
Dude, my first time seeing that was in 10th grade. My teacher showed it to us in one of our classes.
Great flick.
It's phenomenal. Like, it blew my mind the first time I watched it, and then the second time it kind of blew my mind again.
Yeah, because, that's that type of movie.
Yeah, and like I still will rewatch it every couple of years and pick up like a little tidbit out of it that I – you know, because life changes, you change, you know, get different stuff out of it.
But that reminds me of a quote, actually, a Marcus Aurelius quote, I think. But you said you change, people change. Like, you can read the same book and then read it again 10 years later, different book.
Yeah.
Because no man steps in the same river twice. It's not the same river, and he is not the same man.
The other side of that is Musashi Miyamoto, probably the most famous Japanese samurai ever, wrote the Book of Five Rings, which, if you haven't read that, that's... You should read it.
I think I read a book called that about a Latin king one time.
Yeah, this isn't a Latin king.
Yeah.
But his philosophy on you learning more as you like re-go back to things was that everything has a soul, even inanimate objects. So like a book has a soul. So every time you read it, that book opens its soul a little bit more to you, which is why you get more if you continue to read it, you know, every couple of years.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting little philosophy. Mm-hmm. But
I got a friend who thinks that, like, everything has, like, is a part of the collective subconsciousness,
mm-hmm.
right? So, like, everything. Because things are co-emerging. You know about the observer effect. It's like things, just watching something can literally change the physics of it.
Yep.
If anyone is bored and a science nerd and doesn't know about if you're a science nerd, you know, but the double slit experiment to this day is the most impressive experiment I've seen. I'm not smart enough to explain it to people. I know that it demonstrates the observer effect, where literally looking at something with our eyeballs changes the way it moves in physics.
Yep.
I don't know where I was going with that.
I don't know, but it is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's impressive. Mm-hmm. The Japanese guy. Basically, that everything has it's moving, nothing static, and these are like representations of what's here. Because if we had a microscope, it would look different. Or like this is like I look at this as a couch because I know to sit on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like our brains are wired for efficiency because we don't have enough computing power to actually see the reality.
Yes.
And we may never know it. You know, we may never see it. But this person's theory is that everyone who talks to you is your subconscious. Like, you know how you'll be like, for me right now, I'm into like a little bit of Buddhism and a little bit of like, you know, self-awareness and this IFS stuff. So it's like, I happen to notice more stuff about that. It's like when you buy a car and you notice more of those cars.
Yeah.
But this person's like, well, not only are you putting it out there and open to it, but these are actually you talking to you. Which is an interesting concept. Because what I said was like, what about the homeless man who tells me that, like, you know, my dad was gay as I'm walking down the street or something, you know, or something that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you got to know where to keep the source as well. But also that's some version of you. And that helps this person's empathy because they're like, this is just a different version of me, you know?
Yeah. I think that almost leads into like a simulation theory type of thing, though. You know,
it
that
could.
You're the only one in the simulation.
No, but you're not a one. You don't even exist. You're just a part of the universe, just like everybody else.
Part of the simulation.
That's the thing about the simulation. It can't be proven or disproven, and it works for everything.
Yep.
I told simulation theory to this guy at my work, and I'm like doing Nick Bostrom's, you know, the real shit. Like, I swear, the best presentation I've ever given of it. And this guy listens to the whole thing, like, very intently, and then at the end goes, oh, yeah, if this is a simulation, then why can't I make my dad back alive? Swear to God, that's what he asked me.
It's like there's still rules to simulation,
bro. It just I didn't even have the energy. I felt like I presented this to him in such a way that was like, how about that? And he's like, oh yeah, well then my dad would be alive. And it's like, you don't control.
What, you're not the controller of it.
Yeah, bro, blew my mind. I'm like, all right, you're right. We don't live in one. Yeah. We don't live in a simulation.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. What else you got over there? You got some more gifts? What's going on over there?
I do have one more gift. I don't know if you want Mike C to open this one.
No, you guys do it. You're over there. Fuck it.
Fuck it. It's similar. This one comes from Mike Tibbs. He saw that I was doing the donation thing. He hasn't been on the show.
Donation.
So
we are taking donations.
Thanks, Tibbs. Oh, fire.
So same, you know, bear brick.
Joker bear.
But yeah, we both collect well, small collections of them. I've got 1,000% or probably a handful of the 500s and a bunch of 100s. I was into like reselling them for a while, but
the Joker's sick. I will say this. The people who are way too into the Joker, get on my fucking nerves, dude. Nice Joker tattoo, dude. It's the same as like a Disney adult, someone who's like way too into the Joker. It's just like, bro, what the fuck? Like,
he's a cool villain. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
He's a fictional character.
And as far as this bear, it looks dope. Like, I'm with it. I'm just saying, you know who I'm talking about. Yeah. There's people like, you know, that are just way too into the Joker thing.
Dude, anyone that's too into anything, really.
The
Rick and Morty nerds.
Yeah, too into it. When something becomes your personality.
You gotta be well-rounded.
That's why it's hard to find my people, because it's like, I go to the gym pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. I am not a gym guy.
Yeah.
I smoke weed pretty regularly. Not a weed guy. It's like, once it becomes your like personality, it's just like exhausting to me. And then in the spiritual world, it's like, or the self-growth world, or the personal growth world, or whatever that is, dude, there's just so much gayness surrounding the whole thing, where it's just like, bro... And there's lots of shiesty people, right?
Oh, for real.
Because there's these, like, you know, there's almost like this, a dogmatic belief there, you know, in spirituality or this or that. And if someone's really good at articulating these things that can't be really disproven, that, you know, it's easy to be a shyster.
Oh yeah.
But it's kinda,
harder now than it was. But
it dilutes the whole message, though. You know, it's like, because even words like gratitude get hijacked by like the hippy dippy trendy movement, and it's like
there's so many words that get fucking hijacked.
I know, dude.
Changed, and
I can't even say faggot
made
anymore.
Up, you know,
bleep it. So,
like, I hate misinformation. Is one of my least favorite words. So, like, does that mean I'm lying? Because if so, say I'm a liar.
It just sounds
or
like information
is it more
never
like
got
it's
married.
True, but you don't want me to say it. Is that misinformation? Like, little shit like that is what bothers me, because words do matter. You know, I am a firm believer words matter, and like people blow them out of proportion. I get so tired of people like, I had a traumatic experience, and it's something pretty minute. Car accident, that like a fender bender.
But that's traumatic. It could be traumatic to
it's
them.
It's not traumatic.
It could, no, that's incorrect. Because here's the thing about trauma, from what I understand, which
is
nothing.
Don't be a fucking pussy.
Don't be a fucking pussy, A, is the first thing about trauma. The second thing is, trauma isn't the event. It is how your body responds to the event. It's in the nervous system. It's literally what your central nervous system does to respond.
But you have
to
agree that people throw that word out a little too easily now.
100%. Or even like... Yeah, like me and Nazi talked a little bit about, like, people will just use that therapy talk, you know, to get their way. It's like, oh, well, that was very traumatic for me, and my boundaries have now been crossed.
Yep.
And as a, you know, yeah, of course, you can make it sound good.
Yeah.
But when it comes down
to it. I'm not that type of person. I will say what I mean in pretty layman's terms.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, fuck you. I'm going to keep on moving. You don't have to like me. I've got enough friends, family that it's just like.
I was such a people pleaser for so long. Dude, I remember this one specific time I was at my house. And I had like maybe four people over just hanging out, and somebody had their music on. And 5 minutes in, I'm like, I hate this music, right? In my head. I don't say a word for like 40 minutes.
That's your guy, Mike C, right?
Like
there,
40
too.
Minutes, right? And then I'm like, hey, man, can we change the music? And he's like, yeah, no problem. Like, that easy. And I'm just like, why the fuck did I do that to myself?
Yep.
And it's like something about the people pleasing, and my nervous system is like, if no, this means like danger. Like, whatever it is, if someone's displeased, I'm going to be cast out of the tribe or fucking stoned with a rock or something.
Yeah. Mike C's a displeased but not say anything type of guy. You know?
Pretty much. Yeah, you got to make the inner voice the outer voice, you know?
Pretty much.
Yep. Yeah, like when we went camping, you know, the music was a little loud for normal conversation around the campfire at midnight, you know? We're bitching about it, but obviously don't say anything about it, you know? But it's like, eventually you kind of
You also don't
want
to put a damper on the time. You're like, everyone else is vibing.
Yeah,
some people like to, like, have conversations while music's also playing. And it's like, what are we exactly doing here? Because I can't do... Most people, I feel like, really can't do both. Like, you're either listening to that shit or you're ignoring it so you can fucking speak.
Right.
So, like, I don't know. I think some people are just cannot be content in silence. And, like, also, if you're silent, like, then put the music on. You're not having a conversation. Boom, solved it. But if you're having a conversation, you don't need the music.
That's yeah. the, keep it low that enough is the music. That, like, you could hear it, but I can yeah. still talk to you without screaming.
I think the music
blows.
Aged me out of bars. And not even, like, what music, but just the level of volume, right?
Dude, yeah.
What is I'm it a for? Talker. Like, I'm just like, I mean, yeah, if I'm going to dance, that's fine. You know, and I'll do that maybe twice a year. You know yeah. what I mean? I'm not
well,
a huge
most
dancer.
Most times you're just there to... socialize with buddies.
Yeah, I'm a big talker, so
dude, no one was dancing at the Brass Rail, but they had the music so fucking loud that yeah. you had to fuck, hey, well, you want a drink? Or like it's too, what are we doing? It's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah,
no one was dancing there. That's funny.
Most of these bars was
I
dancing.
Know it's funny, you just go there and drink, and then people are like, well, what do? You just drink. It's you just drink
and
until
shout.
Someone fights or fucks.
And shout. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which so. Is fine, but we don't need the music part. Just turn it down a little bit, man.
Turn it down
just
a little bit.
Down.
We're getting old.
Like, if yeah. clubs are clubs, bars should be bars.
If you had to have sex with two people with the combined age of 30, what would they be? It's a trap. Don't answer. It's a trap.
Fuck that answer. Trap.
Yeah, no, don't answer that, dude.
No, I can't legally answer that question.
Yeah, not
you country. Could say if it was 1901... I don't know. I'm not going to finish my sentence.
Yeah, no.
But honestly, time does matter for some reason,
yeah.
somehow.
Time and geographical location.
Or we were always monsters. True. I think so, like, we were always monsters.
I went to went to Japan, and we had to stop in Toronto, catch the flight from Toronto over. And there was she ended up being a 16-year-old girl on the flight there. And the hostess came up to me. She's like, why don't you go sit next to that young girl? I'm like, I was 19 at the time, I believe, or 20. It's like, she's 16, I'm 20. I can't do that. She's like, no, we're over Canadian airspace.
Yeah, what?
16's legal here.
Damn,
and I'm just
that
like.
Stewardess trying to get you fucked
up. But I was
up.
Just like, no. Like,
you
at
say
my
Canada?
Morals, Canada.
Also, just strange for a stewardess to be like, yeah, go get some pussy.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
you
what
need
the
to
fuck?
Join the Mile High Club on this
yeah,
flight,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
hop on in
real.
There. I'll get. But I was just like, that is a weird thing to approach. And then I was just like, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm 20. Like,
yeah. I hear stories about sex on an airplane, like with strangers or like even like, you
I
know.
I don't believe half of them, though.
I know. And then like, yeah. Anytime I'm sitting next to like a girl, I'm like, maybe she'll jerk me off, you know? No matter what she looks like,
put
I'm like,
blanket
maybe.
Over
yeah, yeah, yeah. You hear
okay.
stories about that and they sound hot as hell, but like.
I just know, like,
that's pretty unrealistic.
Bathrooms on airplanes are super fucking small. I'm a big dude. Like, I take up 80% of the bathroom when I go to piss.
Yeah.
Like,
I think
so
you got. I think what you got to do is take a box cutter and get up into the cockpit,
yeah.
and then you have a lot more room to fuck.
That is probably true.
Yeah,
yeah
I think
two
a box cutter.
Skinny
gets
people could probably get it done, but like you said, like
they're
you
small
don't,
fucking bathrooms.
You don't have
bro.
Many chance. Like, what? She's in front. Facing away from you, I guess, is the only way I could see it, like, working.
Or sitting on the shitter.
Logistically.
Or wrapped around
yeah.
you in the air.
I get, like.
Yeah, there's not many spots.
You don't have a lot of options.
And then the other part, though, is
you're gonna
like,
make
everyone
noise.
Sees two people going to the same
And if
bathroom.
Not,
well, you gotta not,
they're
going to
hear something. You're going to be rocking
oh,
yeah. on something.
Oh, yeah. You're at a level of horny where you don't give a fuck if you're going to fuck in an airplane bathroom, right?
Is it against the law?
I don't
anyone know.
I don't know if you're in the bathroom, because then it's not lewd.
Yeah,
right?
It's
not
your shit. It's not in public.
I'm sure there's policy against it, you know.
I don't give a shit about
yeah,
policy unless it's
policy.
A police policy. I'm only asking about police policy. Mm. I wonder if I can get arrested or not.
Yeah,
it's not for me. It'd be cool. It's like it's an idea. The idea is cool.
Yeah,
like actually doing it. Would it be cool?
Probably not.
It's always cool to get fucked, but like, well, hold on, back up. I'm gonna stop.
I get what you mean. It's always good to have sex. It's always good to fuck to get your fuck on.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, some things sound better in theory than they really are.
Definitely.
I used to
shower
get
sex,
even like
dude.
Sex outside.
Well,
like, it sounds real cool, but then when the mosquitoes start biting your ass, it's not the best.
I will say having
way.
Sex outside,
beach just, sex with
yeah.
the sand.
Oh,
like,
beach sex is so overrated. So is shower sex.
Shower sex.
I used to think 69 was overrated until I had like really good 69 one time, which is like was a whole different thing to me. But
I only want a 69. I don't want
really?
Someone being doing work on me and I'm just not doing anything when I could easily be reciprocating. Like, there's almost no like I don't like to feel like the center of attention. And, like, literally, you are the center of attention.
Yeah,
you
yeah, yeah,
dick
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, just flip over and, like, I'll do you while you do me. It's fine.
But the idea, though, is in my head,
we
prior to having
too.
It good, yes, it's more efficient. But my problem is like, the quality gets decreased.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm not looking to get off that way anyway. I feel like that's
not
just the starter
off.
Course.
I'm not looking to get off, necessarily.
Yeah.
But I still want it to be, like, a really good blowjob. And if I'm, like, got my face buried in your pussy, you might be distracted, you know?
Of course.
Unless, you know, it's like a. What are we talking about? How the fuck did we get here?
How do we get anywhere? I don't know.
But I do need to get out of here shortly, too, though.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for coming. Appreciate
sorry for
you.
The hard cut, but it's my night to do bath time, and since I was in Ocean City all week.
You need a bath. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little smelly.
Mike will make it, you know, he'll like do this like slow fade out and then into the fucking outro. And then go subscribe or your mom's a hoe. And
do it for Sheila.
Do it for Sheila. She's going to be fucking pissed if I kill myself. So
yeah, I'm sure.
I'm going to have her on too. She's coming.
Awesome.
Yeah. So people will get to see the Sheila.
Nice.
Yeah. Thanks for coming, bro.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Okay, sorry for the sweat. If this doesn't work, I'll kill myself. Damn.